good music tonight. Ephesians 2, right where we were this morning. Now we're going to go a different direction tonight with the message, verses 8 through 10 again. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Find that familiar passage. We'll read there. Jump into the message this evening. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Give you just a moment to find that. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Again, we'll read 8, 9, and 10. Please join me on that odd-numbered verse number 9 there. And our Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's have prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for the service this morning, for directing our attention and our thoughts on the matter of salvation. For those who came forward, Lord, to trust You as their Savior, I pray, God, that they will grow in grace and grow to love You. I pray, dear Lord, that You will help us tonight as we go a different direction with this same passage as we look at this matter of good works. Speak to our hearts about it. And Lord, challenge us, I pray, that we be this kind of person that pleases You. And I'll thank You for it. Bless the special, the service to follow in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. People clapping for baptism from the junior church and the Spanish church. But I like good old-fashioned amens for songs. It's not performance, it's ministry, amen. And I just soon keep it that way, amen. All right, chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. We talked this morning about salvation being not based on works. I want to talk tonight about good works versus reasonable service. Good works versus reasonable service. I want you to see verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But I want to talk tonight on good works versus reasonable service. And let's pray together. Dear Father, thank You that Your wounds paid our ransom. Thank You for Jesus who came, bore our sins upon His shoulder, on His body on that tree. Thank You so much for salvation that is by grace through faith, that we don't have to work for it. But I pray that, Lord, we'll see in light of all that Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, it ought to be, Lord, that we have both reasonable service and good works, not one or the other, but, Lord, both in this life. Help me tonight. Help the Bible to be plain and clear. May it be a blessing to the folks. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and amen. We talked this morning about these verses being familiar passages of Scripture, especially to us as Baptist people. Salvation is not in the accumulation of good works. I talked this morning about witnessing to people where they really felt like when they got down to the end of life and stood before God, that all their good works would be placed on this side of the scale, their bad works on this side of the scale, and they just trusted and hoped and prayed that there'd be enough good works to tip the scale in the right direction. That's the furthest thing from how things will happen at the two judgments that we stand when we're before God. I mentioned this morning about how difficult that would be. We talked about if you lived 70 years, and if you sinned only 5 times a day, and that's pretty minimal, really. That's generous, 5 times a day. That would be 25,550 days times 5 sins, 127,750 sins or bad works. And if you're going to work your way to heaven, you better keep a good sharp pencil handy. And you better make sure that when it's all over, you have 127,751 good works. Enough to outweigh those bad, the bad ones. And I'll tell you something, that'd be horrible to live under that kind of pressure. I'm glad God took all the pressure off man when He established salvation by grace through faith. Amen. Well, it's done. It's done in Jesus Christ once and for all. But now, once you're saved, the Bible says in verse number 10 that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God gives you salvation through repentance and faith, but then He expects those of us who have received this free salvation to accomplish good works. Let me show you some things tonight. Use your Bible if you have one. If you don't, just listen carefully. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Let's turn to these passages. Acts chapter 9, verse number 36. Doesn't hurt you to see the Scripture, number one. If you're just getting familiar with the Bible, it helps to turn and find the verses. Acts chapter 9, verse number 36, the subject of good works. Those that have received the free gift of salvation, now God wants us and has created us unto good works. The Bible says in Acts 9 and 36, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." It's a saved woman full of good works. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, turning to your right in the New Testament, going through the letters that Paul wrote to the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Thessalonians, and on to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Talking here about godly women. The Bible says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So you break that down, it says that godly women ought to adorn themselves with good works. Now how about the men? Well, Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, turning to your right still, go past 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Paul wrote there to Titus, and he said, "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity," but so forth, "but in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." Now look at the end of the chapter, verse number 14, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So you got Dorcas full of good works. You got the godly women adorning themselves with good works. You got the young men being a pattern of good works. And you got Jesus here in Titus 2:14, purifying him unto himself, a peculiar people who are zealous of good works, anxious, getting with it, no moss growing under the feet, but serving the Lord with good works. Now, here is the mistake I think many people make. I think the average Christian mistakes reasonable service for good works. And they're not the same. You mistake reasonable service for good works. Look at Romans chapter 12, where the term reasonable service is used, if you would. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. You know these verses, I think, pretty well. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Find it there. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is reasonable service? Reasonable service is presenting your body a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable. The word means well-pleasing unto God. Now, folks, look at it. Reasonable service is giving my body to God, giving myself to holiness, well-pleasing to Him. Reasonable service is me and you yielding our body to God in such a manner that it pleases Him. It is refusing and fighting this matter of being conformed to this world, pressed into the mold of this world, which does not please God. God is not pleased with the philosophy, the behavior, the things of this world. He's not pleased with those things at all. And every child of God should fight off being pressed into that mold, instead giving ourselves in holiness unto God for things that are pleasing to Him. Reasonable service is not smoking. Reasonable service is not drinking. Reasonable service is not gambling. Reasonable service is not living in fornication and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's not cursing and not doing drugs and not giving yourself over to sensual music and not dressing in a manner that displeases God. These are things that are absent from my body because I have put my body on the altar. I've given myself, I've crucified the lusts and the desires of the flesh. I have crucified myself to the world. I've died to it. I've been listening to a beautiful CD recently. And one of the songs on there, oh, how sweet to die with Jesus to the world and self and sin. And that's true. And that's the way to victory in the Christian life. That's the way to the resurrected life, is to die to self. It's presenting your body a holy living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God. That's reasonable service. That's reasonable service. Now watch, so many of God's people take pride in that reasonable service. Look at what I don't do. And we rattle off all the things that we don't do. Man, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't rock and roll and I don't gamble and I don't cuss and I don't shoot drugs and I'm good. See, look, I'm good. Our mentality is I'm doing real good by not doing real bad. But that's not, folks, that is just our reasonable service. That's all that is. I don't think God's going to pin a medal on us someday because it didn't smoke. I don't think God's going to pin a medal on us someday because we didn't drink. I don't think God's going to pin a medal on us someday because we didn't go to the gambling boats and buy lottery tickets and didn't run to the movies and avoided the rock and roll concerts. I don't think they're going to pass out a lot of medals in heaven for those things that were just a part of our reasonable service. Listen, that's just reasonable in light of all that Jesus has done for us. Like the lady sang a few moments ago, in light of the fact that He died, was crucified, that horrible death that Paul said, even the death of the cross. The fact that He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. The fact that He was beaten. The fact that He shed His blood. The fact that He was battered. In light of all that, of course, no questions asked, we should give our bodies holy and well-pleasing to Him. That's just reasonable. If you do something kind for somebody and go out of your way to do something for them, I mean above and beyond normal. Is it a little loud in here tonight out there where you folks are? Or is it, okay, just up here, Brother Greg, just a little bit. You go out of the way to do something nice for somebody. Maybe going the extra mile to do something. You know, it's not unreasonable to look for a thank you note coming back from the person that's been the recipient of your kindness and your goodness. And you know what giving your body in reasonable service to the Lord is? That's just a simple way of saying thank you, Jesus, for all that you did on the cross of Calvary. For all my sins. Thank you for dying for me. That's just reasonable. The reasonable thing to do. Listen very carefully. Reasonable service is the absence of the negative. But good works is the presence of the positive. The presence of the positive. Folks, it is not enough to stop with the absence of the negatives. It is necessary to maintain the presence of the positives. We take too much glory in what we don't do. And I suggest to us the world is not that impressed by what we do not do. But the world will be impressed by what we do in the area of good works. I want you to show you some things. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, again, a familiar verse to you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Thank you for just a moment to find there. First book in the New Testament, chapter 5 and verse number 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice that. See in your good works. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Go back now toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. I was amazed the other day when I was doing the study in the motel room down in Belleville. How many times good works shows up in the New Testament? Shows up an awful lot for Baptist people who believe we're not saved by works. Good works shows up an awful lot. Now look at that, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number, where am I at? Verse number 12. Having your conversation, that's your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of your visitation. Now, I want you to notice, folks, according to these two verses right here, good works are public. They can be seen. Men see them. Men observe them. And Jesus said, don't turn to it, in John chapter 10, verse number 32, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Good works I've showed you. You've seen them. These are public. In the eyes of the unsaved, in the eyes of saved people, something positive that they can see. In case you haven't stopped to think about it, folks, listen. Folks, you know, they look at us, you know, we've abstained from all these vices and these things that go along with the world, the cigarettes, the smoking, the alcohol, the lottery tickets, the rock music. But that really, again, that doesn't impress the lost people because they don't see anything wrong with those things to begin with. In fact, the fact that we don't do those things is a little weird to them. We're strangers. Just odd. So I'm not sure that they're all impressed by the things that we don't do. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. If that's it, there is no good for them to see. There has to be something positive. There has to be something visible. There has to be something public. There has to be some good work that they can look at, observe, and behold, that touches their heart. Man, it says, wow, that's amazing. You say, what are these good works? Well, that's the question, isn't it? What is a good work? And I was glad to find out in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible tells us a few of these good works. So turn back over there, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Where the Bible talks about taking widows that are widows indeed and how to deal with them according to the Scriptures here in the local New Testament church. And in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy and verse number 10, we have a definition of good works. Let's begin reading in verse number 9 there where the Bible says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now these are the stipulations for a widow indeed. Look at verse 10. Well reported of for good works And then there follows a list of four works that the Bible says are good works. And as I look at these, all of these works are public or can be done in the eyes of men. I want to show you what they are tonight. Number one, if she have brought up children. The training up of children is a good work. Now, this is a reference to her own children. And I want you to understand that when you put time, effort, and energy into the teaching and training of your children to teach them not only the Bible, but character and honesty and integrity and politeness, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and so forth and so on, and how to stand, and how to look people in the eye, and how to talk to folks, and how to shake hands, and how to be ladylike, and how to be masculine. When you put some time, effort, and energy into the rearing of your children, the bringing of them up in the correct way, the Bible says that's a good work. That's a good work. So pour yourself into your kids. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Teach them how to behave. That's a part of a good work. And I'm going to tell you something. Those of you who have lost loved ones, you've been saved out of families that are lost, I think the greatest way to the heart of your unsaved relative is through the lives of your children. Boy, what a testimony they can be. And teach them to be respectful. And teach them to be right. Teach them to love even their unsaved relatives and to honor their grandparents and to honor their aunts and honor their uncles and be the proper type relation to them, and yet at the same time maintain a great Christian testimony. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's a good work, and people see that, and believe you me, they do pay attention. Amen. Look, go to the average restaurant, go to mall, go to Kmart, Walmart, and see what the average worldly kid is doing out there. Tearing up Jack. I mean, where was I the other day in a restaurant? I can't even remember where we were. Oh, it was down in Texas City, Texas, with Brother Mills. We were having lunch, and this lady brought this child in. And I'm telling you what, he literally ruined lunch for everybody in that restaurant, throwing his menu around, get him a sipper cup, threw it around, and she just, don't do it. And wild and crazy. I tell you what you do. Take your family in a restaurant with your kids sitting there politely, nicely, speaking to people, talking to the waitress or the waiter like a young person ought to talk, having some manners, yes, sir, and no, sir, bowing their head, closing their eye, a word of prayer. Believe you me, people leave having noticed something about those kids in those restaurants. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Training up your children is a good work. But now, wait a minute. This is not only a reference to her own children, but this is a reference to children who were not hers, whom she had influence over. It was a good work. The Bible says, if she have brought up children, bringing them up in the Christian faith. And I thought, man, that is a good work. All of this bus ministry thing here at Faith Baptist Church is a good work. It's a good work, according to the Word of God here. It's taking boys and girls whose moms and dads a lot of times will not bring them to church, do not want to come to church, and bringing them here and spending a couple of hours with them, teaching and nurturing them in the things of the Lord. And the Bible says that's not a waste of time. That's not an attendance builder. It's a good, good work. How could anybody ever pick apart or criticize the bus ministry? I want to tell you something. If there's been one thing in this town through all of these years that's caught the attention of people over and over again, it's those old buses running up and down the streets of Kankakee, Bradley, and Bourbonnais. And not just to pick up their kids on Sunday. When the people have had problems, they're taking food. When there's been funerals, we've been there. We've brought their caskets into this auditorium. We've never charged a dime for it. And all of these years, and the community, they may not like it. They may never participate in it, but they stand up and take notice. It's a good work. It's a good work, training these children, visiting these kids, going by to see them on Saturday and Sunday. Boy, I'm glad when I went to Howells Anderson College that they had a rule that the pastoral theology students had to be in the bus ministry. I'm glad they had that rule. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was a blessing. Man, I tell you, it wasn't always easy, and it wasn't always ha-ha fun, but it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever done, is working with those kids in that bus ministry. I loved it. I loved it when I was at Iowa for 10 years, rode a bus. Every Sunday. And sometimes when Brother Brown was out of town and would have to preach, still rode the bus. And did it here for a little while when I first came here back in 1990 or 91. I love it. Some of you folks that are new to us have been our joy. Some of you kids that are growing up now and becoming college and career, you talk about a great way to spend some time for the Lord, investing your talent and your time to go out and round up a bunch of boys and girls and get them in here so they can be taught. You see, folks, look, the only Bible they hear all week in many cases is what they hear in this building. That's the only Bible they hear all week. They don't get Bible on Monday. They don't get any Bible on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday afternoon or evening. They get it here on Sunday morning. That's all they get. In many cases, the only prayer they hear all week is in class in junior church. The only time they ever hear God's name spoken in a reverent manner is in the church house. Think about it. The only songs that are decent and good are the ones that they sing in class here and pick up, and they do learn them. And they do go home and sing them. All you got to do is visit a little while to find out that those kids do go home and sing those songs. And they have a good time. I got tickled. Leah was telling me, or Abby was telling us today at lunch about Brother Daniel and Brother Caleb on his bus today. And Professor Pink Pants. And Caleb had on these oversized pants and they kept falling down. He had pants on underneath him, amen. And he got this wild Bible story and confused all the stories. And he had Moses building the ark, you know, and Noah in the Garden of Eden. And those kids were all saying, no, that's wrong. Abby was laughing and talking about it. And just a joy from that 19-year-old girl at lunchtime and a part of that bus route and the things they were doing on there today, except for when they broke the mirror. Amen, Brother Chuck. When they broke the mirror, huh? Yeah, I heard about that too. Amen. Yeah, and I was fooling around, whop, and the mirror broke. But honestly, that doesn't bother me. That happens. They were having a good time, and those kids were enjoying themselves. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of money. It's not an attendance builder. If she have brought up children. And folks, it's not talking about just bringing them up with food and clothes and shelter. It's talking about the same thing Ephesians 6 says, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. It's a good work. It's a good work. I love the bus ministry. I love it. It's wonderful. Man, some of you ought to jump in and be a part of it. See Brother Caleb. Hey, you know what? If you can't do it all because of your schedule, maybe you could do some. Maybe you could ride the bus home in the afternoon or ride the bus in the morning or visit for a little while. But get involved. Enjoy it, man. Get it. The Bible says that's a good, good work. And the fun and the blessing. And sometimes reaping those eternal blessings and seeing those boys and girls get saved. And then more than that sometimes, not just seeing them get saved, but go on to become something for the Lord. Like some of these fellows sitting in this room this evening. And girls. That's what makes it all a good work. It's a good work. It's a good work. The training up of children is a good work. Our own. God help us, folks, if we go to the mall and our kids act like the world's kids. What kind of testimony is that? Help us. I get weary. I get bothered when I see Christian teenagers at the mall. They look just like any old public school teenager. I'm sorry. God help us. We're supposed to be different. Different training up of children. I'm talking about behavior and actions. I'm talking about the fact this is a good work. Number two, I want to show you the second thing here. Look what she said. Look what he said. If she have lodged strangers. What's a good work? Showing hospitality to strangers. Showing hospitality to strangers. Now you're talking about streaming just like hitchhikers and people like that. And going down the road, man, you never know who's going to have a gun and all this stuff. No, I'm not talking about that stuff, folks. He's talking about opening your home to lodge or feed or do something on behalf of a family that might be traveling or passing through or visiting the church or visiting the area. It's not really a good work when we open our homes to our friends and our loved ones. It's okay. It's fine and good. But it becomes a good work when we open our homes and our houses and our kitchens to feed and rest and lodge people who are part of the family of God that we don't even know. Strangers. What a blessing to have a missionary family in your house. It's a blessing. And it's a good work. These missionary families come through here. They come in. They've been on the road, man. Ashley came off the road. Man, they've been going, going, going. I mean, they leave one church in the morning and they're in another church by the evening. Sometimes traveling 10 and 10 and a half hours in between. Night after night, night after night, night after night, night after night. What a blessing it is for them to have a nice, clean bed to sleep in, a home-cooked, prepared meal, and a family who's really glad to have them in their home. Really glad to have them. Come in. We've got the space. We've got the extra room. We're glad to have you folks. It's a blessing to them. We've got them in our home right now while they're on deputation, but that's not really a good work. It's a blessing because I get to raid his tie rack. Amen. I go down and raid his tie rack. You see me with all these ties? Boy, Pastor ran into a bunch of new ties. No, they're just bins. Amen. I try not to spill any coffee or food on them. Amen. Take them back down and hang them up right where they were before. He'll never know it. See, he'll never know it. It's not really a good work for me to have Ben and Ashley Angel in my home. Good night. That's family. That's expected. Huh? But to have strangers. Have missionaries that are in. Well, he said, what do you say? Because, you know, sometimes at missions conference time, we depend on the same people year after year to house missionary families. I'll tell you, some of you folks are missing a great blessing. You're missing a blessing. You got the room. Now, I understand if it's a situation where, you know, there's a single missionary man and the husband gets up at 5 o'clock to go to work and the wife is there alone, that's not going to work. Understand that. It won't work in all cases. But a lot of times they got their wife and a child or two, or 6, or 10, or whatever. You know, good missionary family, amen. You got the space. There's nothing. That's a good work. That's a good work. Open your house. If you can't have them in for the night, open your house for an evening meal. And walk up to them after church and say, hey, man, what are you doing for supper? Can I take you to eat? Can I get you something over here at Steak and Shake? I'd walk up to them, shake their hand, put a Cracker Barrel, a gift card in their hand or a gas card or whatever, making meals when we have pastors and donating the food and so forth and so on. That's a good work. That's what the Bible says. If she have lodged strangers, that's something positive. Proactive. The Bible calls it a good work. Share what you have with God's people. You get the blessing, and God counts it as a good work. Amen. I never forget S.M. Davis telling that story years ago about being at pastor school. He was a Southern Baptist preacher. But he knew something was wrong in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he wanted to pull his church out. He had John R. Rice to speak for him. In those days, Dr. Rice would go to those type churches if the folks were trying to get out of the Southern Baptist Convention. He'd go and preach there and try to help them. And he told S.M. Davis, he said, Brother Davis, he said, you need to go to Hammond. Third week in March, they have pastor school up there, Jack Hiles. And you'd learn a lot from Brother Hiles. You ought to take it in. So Brother Davis and Ray Jean and his wife went up there to Hammond and stayed in the home of one of the First Baptist Church members. Well, Monday night, went to the house. Stayed there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and through Friday. In those days, the pastor school lasted through Friday. And S.M. Davis was there on Monday night when Dr. Hiles had Church with a Heart. He brought all those ministries out there. If you ever been to pastor school on Monday night, you've seen it. Church of the Heart, all those ministries. I mean, truck ministry and homeless people and the Sunbeams and the handicapped and the blind and the deaf. And I mean, just ministry after ministry after ministry. And Dr. Howes was a cut up and he would have a lot of fun. He would tease some of the people, tease some of the educable, slow people. One of them got him back one day, though. You've heard me tell that story. They were all supposed to sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, at the end of their ministry presentation. And he had the educable slow out there, and he kind of joked around with them and kidded around for a little while. And then he said, which one of you folks is supposed to lead the song? And this guy raised his hand and said, I am. Now the place is jam-packed. And he takes the microphone and he says, I ain't nothing but a hound dog. And that place fell out laughing. And Dr. Howes was cutting up with those folks. I don't know if it was the blind people, the deaf people or something. He was cutting up with them. And it offended Brother Davis. Made him mad. And you know, when you get offended, when you get mad and offended, it colors everything. How you look at it, it's jaded. And you know that's true. So it's jaded. So all day Tuesday, his attitude's jaded. All due Wednesday, his attitude's jaded. didn't set well with him. Things he'd never heard before, preaching like he'd never heard before. And Thursday, Wednesday night, they went out to eat, and it was raining and muddy and snow or whatever it was, and they came home late Wednesday night, and they overslept Thursday morning a little bit. They got up at the last minute, and they quickly got dressed and ran to the First Baptist Hammond Auditorium, and they were gone all day Thursday, and they came back late Thursday night after the service. And when he walked in the room where he and his wife were staying, there were his shoes and her shoes, all polished, shining, spit shine polished, so bright, sitting there, and a little note in the shoe: "Brother Davis, hope you and your wife have enjoyed your time at our church this week. We love our pastor, we love our church, and we're glad that you've come to spend the week with us. It's been our privilege to have you here. I noticed your shoes were dirty, and so I shined them up for you." It was signed by the 17-year-old boy in the home. Now, you know what that's called, folks? That's called a good work. That's what it's called. It's called something positive, something people can see and observe. And you know what? That changed. They sat down. I heard S.M. Davis say this with his own mouth. They sat down on the edge of the bed. And he said to her, he said, "Honey," he said, "I've had a bad attitude all week. But if this is the kind of teenager this church is producing, I want what they have." He went back to Lincoln, pulled his church out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and built that great State Street Baptist Church, later became Park Meadows down there in Lincoln. Has been there for years. Huh? Because of a good work. If she have lodged strangers. We take too much pride in the things that we don't do. We pop our chest out too far about, I don't. Look at all the, I'm doing good by not doing real bad. That's reasonable service. Not going to give out any crowns for that kind of thing. Amen. Good works is something public, something people see, something they experience and observe. It's the training up of children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, yours, and it's having influence over somebody else's. It's showing hospitality to strangers, man. When these missionary families come in, make them feel welcome. Show them hospitality. Don't wait for me to say, "Let's take an offering." And don't think that's the only thing you can do for them. Go beyond and above the call of duty. Come prepared to be a blessing to them. That's a good work. Amen. Number three, he goes on to say in this same verse right here, if she have washed the saints' feet. If she have washed the saints' feet. You know what that is? That's serving the needs of others. Serving the needs of others. Now, this was very customary in Bible days. You remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the upper room? Remember that? Then he told them, he said, "I've given you example." It's not practiced today, with all our customs and so forth and so on. But saints have other needs. And a good work is seeing that those needs are met. Cleaning the house of an elderly person. Making a meal for a mother with a new baby. Some of you ladies never get involved in that. How many of you folks would make a meal for sister so-and-so? Just two or three, four or five days with the meals. And, you know, it's just, and some of you folks never get involved in that. That's a good work. That's a good work. They come home from the hospital, got a new baby. Doesn't hurt to have some meals for a few days. You ladies that have been on the receiving end of that, amen. It's a blessing. Cleaning the house of an elderly person. Taking an elderly person to get groceries or to the doctor's office. We have folks in this church. We have ladies in this church who've given their names and said, "Call us anytime an elderly person needs to go to the doctor. Anytime an elderly person needs to go to the dentist. Anytime an elderly person needs to go to the store, give us a call. We'll come in and we'll take them." You know what that's called, folks? That's called good work. That's called Christianity. That's what it's called. It's called a good work. Raking their leaves. Helping out around the house. Nobody in this church knows what Ira Schaefer does for people around here. The elderly people in this church. Nobody. Puts them in his car, takes them places. Provides them a ride. Needs some groceries. I'll take you to the store. What that's called? A good work. It's called serving the needs of others. Picking them up for church. Washing their car. Do whatever they need. What do you need? Can I help you? I'm looking for a way to serve your needs. That's good works. I'll tell you something. You get to heaven, that'll count for something. Not that you're doing it to count for something. We take too much pride in what we don't do. Too much pride. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't. Boast too big about that. What are you doing? Where's the positive? Where's the proactive? Where's the observed? Where's the deed? Where's the good work if she have washed the saints' feet? That's what he said here. And then he said, number four, if she have relieved the afflicted. That's helping those who've had trouble. Relieve the afflicted. Somebody that's just had surgery that needs a hand. I was so blessed. I'd go out to see Terry Davis. And he'd say, well, he'd say, Mike Lacey came by the other day. When he came to Christmas time, Brother Mike went to Terry and said, look, if you'd like to go out and buy something for Valerie, you want to just go out and get something for her without her having to go along, I'll take you. I'll put you in the car and take you and drive you around. And they did that. At first, Brother Terry was a little offish, but then he called Mike and said, you know, I think I'd like to do that. And I'm just sure they went in the car, didn't they? Didn't they go? And went in the car to the stores. And Terry was able to buy something for Valerie, his last Christmas with her. That's a good work. Terry would say, Brother Thrall came by. I don't know, unbelievably faithful to go by the house on the way home or to work. I don't know which. Just stop by sometimes for 3 or 4 minutes. How you doing, Brother Terry? How you doing? Brother Wayne Irvin came the other day and helped me do some stuff. Man, you men, you don't know how that made my heart feel. That was never said from the pulpit. I didn't ever have to call anybody to say, you guys took that upon yourselves. And there might have been somebody else. I don't like to leave people out. Might have been somebody else that did something for Brother Terry. But I'll tell you what. You know what that was? That's a good work. That's a good work. You see, it doesn't take any time not to smoke. And saves a lot of money. The taxes on a pack of cigarettes in Cook County, over $4 a pack. Can you imagine that? Go to Indiana to buy your cigarettes, folks. Amen. I don't know. I'm just kidding. That's crazy. It doesn't take any time not to drink. All these big things we boast about that we don't do, that's so impressive, don't take any time. Good works take time. I never forget hearing Brother Vineyard say for years, if you're going to be a blessing to somebody, it's going to cost you time and money. Time and money. He's right. You're going by the house to help a man who's dying with cancer, try to fix some things in his house and fix some doors and do some things and take him to get a gift for his wife. Or that takes time. That's a good work. Anything to bring relief to someone in great difficulty. A phone call. I will say this. I hope you ladies won't forget that Valerie's going to be by herself now. I hope that you'll call her. Mary Miracle sits over there by herself for almost a year now, this summer. It's called good works. It's called good works. It's called things that Christians do among themselves who are part of the family of God to reach out and something positive. They get a whole lot bigger blessing out of a phone call saying, how you doing? Than to know that you don't drink. Does that make sense, folks? It's called good works. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. That's impossible. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking to folks this evening who are satisfied with reasonable service. You're satisfied with reasonable service. Look at what I don't do. I'm good. That's not a good work. And you're satisfied with that. And you need to get proactive in this matter of good works. Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. This is a faithful saying. Don't have to turn there. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works. That's Titus talking about the people of his church. Paul talking about the people in Titus's church. Let ours also learn to maintain good works. I'll tell you one of the sweetest stories I ever heard about Jack Housen, and I'm done. And I hope I have this right. But he used to go by a little convenience store. Maybe somebody could correct me afterwards. I want to tell it right. As best as I remember, he used to go by a convenience store on his way to the office every morning when he was in town, pick up a newspaper. And I don't know if he got something to drink or not. One day he walked in there, and the guy that was behind the counter said, "Man, that's a sharp tie. That's a nice tie. Where'd you get it, Brother House?" I said, I think I got it at an airport. So next time he was in the airport, he went to that same little store and bought that tie. The next time he stopped in, he gave that guy that tie. And he had a chance to witness to him and lead him to the Lord. Now that may not be exactly right, but it's real close to how that happened, that story. You know what that's called? It's called a good work. We're too satisfied with reasonable service. We're too caught up in our reasonable service. We need to get proactive. Think about it, fellas. Think about the guys you work with. They got a hobby? They got something you find out they enjoy reading a certain kind of book? They enjoy golfing, fishing? Pick them up a fishing lure. Pick them a little box of golf balls. Pick them up a book. Throw it on their desk. Say, "Man, I heard you say the other day you enjoyed reading these kind of books. I saw one at the store. I thought I'd pick it up for you." Who does that? All we do is complain. Who at work does that? Any lost guys coming by giving you stuff? Called good works. We're not social gospel, but I remind us that Jesus did feed the hungry. And He did clothe the naked. He did. He set the children on His knee. You understand what I'm saying? He did some good works. And He said, "I've done these good works. You could see them." These are the things that I think God's people sometimes mistake. We mistake reasonable service for good works. Our Christianity needs to be reasonable service and good works. A mixture of the two. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thanks for listening. Lord, use us, I pray, in this community. Use us, I pray, in these neighborhoods. We live, Lord, amongst lost people. People who, Lord, live like some of us used to live. Boy, Lord, they need to see something. I pray, God, that You'd help us consciously consider this thing of good works. Too many of us are self-satisfied with reasonable service. Bless us, dear Father, and help us to be busy about good works. making a difference in somebody's life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Would you raise your hand, please? Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side, a small child's hand. God bless you, young child. May the Lord work in your heart and bring you to Christ at a very good age. Who's here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've not followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? I pray for you tonight. You've been saved but not baptized. God bless you. We encourage you to come tonight and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We have everything you need to be baptized. And take that first step of obedience, and God will bless you for it. Yes, He will. Saved and baptized, you feel like you know this is the place that God wants you to join, be a member and fellowship and attend here, be involved. We'd love for you to come, present yourself for membership. How about a Christian tonight? So, Pastor, maybe I've taken too much stock in reasonable service. I've been very neglectful of good works. I need to be proactive in my Christianity. We're not to isolate ourselves, folks, in some little shell. Pastor, pray for me. Some way, somehow, I've got to find a way. At home, at work, wherever. To be proactive in this matter. Of good works. The Lord spoke to my heart tonight in a very real way. Would you lift a hand, please, all across the room? Would you do that? There's a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, dear Father, I pray that You'll bless these people that raised a hand tonight. And I pray that folk will follow through on this message, Lord. I pray that we will be a church not only known for our stand against sin, but Lord, help us to be known as a church that cares and loves and does good works. Help us to reach out to a community that's hurting. Lift the fallen. Encourage the discouraged. Within the family of God and without. Lord, help us to maintain good works. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know, a family across the street loses a loved one. Apple pie sure is a blessing. A couple dozen cookies or a pound cake. They're not saved. Doesn't have to be. It's maintaining a good work. Let's get busy about it. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need to be baptized, you want to pray at the altar for a moment while the ladies play, come this way. Come right away. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come tonight? Let me encourage you to step out. Thanks for a happy life. Here we go. Here we go.